I'm Noma Tembakela. I'm the Chief Director for Social Welfare Services Transformation at the National Department.
I'm Usele Tolofelo, Chief Director, Legal Services. I'm also with that lady sitting right there, is Yamohete Dube. She's our intern.
I'm Osborne Matsinela, Chief Director, NTT and Oversight Management.
I'm
David Baylor, I'm the Deputy Chairperson of the Central Drug Authority, and I also have with me Dr. Ray Ebelheim, an Executive Member of the Central Drug Authority, behind me.
I'm Ivodi Yamabuza Mukoko, CDA Secretary.
Is that about it?
Yes.
All right. Which other teams are here? We have, of course, members of the portfolio committee. My name is Michael Masita. I chair the committee. And the other members, can they just quickly, if some people are meeting the committee for the first time, they need to know who the faces are.
My name is Liz Wander from myself, Tim Abitbeck, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Right.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I'm Janice Semple. I'm a member of the committee, and I'm from Ekurhuleni, South Tech.
Yeah. I know Mark Gumede, and I met her in the passage earlier on. She said she was on her way, so I hope she will join us. Secretary, do we have any apologies from members?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Zola Vice, the Commerce Secretary. The apologies for today is for Honorable Mkongi, Honorable Ma, Honorable Rajbali, and Honorable Abu Kubane Zulu.
Thank you.
Honorable,
we will
be late. She's at the Home Affairs meeting, but
she will
come as soon as she's finished.
All right. Yes, it's always a pleasure to have you. Why not prevention from the committee? All right. Okay. Any other people who are visiting us who we need to know about their presence? correct? Frankie Jenkins, parliamentary legal advisor. I've been assigned to assist the committee with this piece of discussion. You have the special advice office here? All right. Before we proceed with the business of today, I just need us to briefly reflect on the program of the committee for the week. We have scheduled to discuss the
Gauteng, which is 94.4%, and in Mpumalanga at 96.3%. In Northwest and Free State, like I've stated before, those two provinces are overspending, overshooting their education budgets. Education personnel spending is at 70 billion. There's underspending of 469.2 million in five provinces and overspending of 398.6 million in four provinces. That underspending goods and services budget is mostly in learner support material, which is at 9 billion, and that underspending is 776.9 million rand. Like I said, it's learner support material mostly. That's in aggregate across provinces.
Yeah. Yes. So what are you telling us here? What are the implications here?
Well, Jay, I would say that there was a budget and learner support material for learner support material which wasn't spent, which could mean that some learners didn't get the material that they needed. Then we look at capital spending, which is at 3.3 billion. That is low in terms of education, which is 83.3%, and if the committee can recall, an additional 2.7 billion was added.
You see what would need to have in the going forward, Madam Kantana, especially in respect of this matter. Just some provincial breakdown would be very useful, and if we could have that, and even maybe take it very further, because we formed the Eastern Cape over the weekend, and we were given a story about, I think, four schools or six Zulu. No Zulu. Five schools in this area. And that community was really complaining about some issues that relate to education. And this matter that you're talking about is a matter that we did not speak to. So I'm saying it would be nice also just to have a breakdown of which provinces are therefore culprits in respect of this matter, so that we would also want to look at each province then. Thanks for that. I mean, proceed.
Regarding of that, I mean, schools receive and they got the money for stationery. There is also a lot of schools in my province who haven't, there's only half of the books, learner material, that the school received. They haven't received anything. There's only half of that.
If that's better, well, that you know that Limpopo is one of them. We will deal with that when we deal with the respective department. But it would be nice just to have a sense, because look, what was useful for instance, we, on the 25, we were dealing with the additional money for infrastructure. We never really focused on the learner support stuff and because at the time we never thought this kind of a picture would come out. But it's fine that it's come out, so we've got to analyze this matter further and maybe let's also appeal to provinces just to, if you're able to do it. Just region by region, I mean to say district by district. It would be nice just to have a sense of each district. But also, if you are again able to zoom into which school, that would be much more appreciated, so that we just try and ensure that the department is made to account provincially, especially of education. Proceed, madam.
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of what we have tried to do for the 8 and 9, for the current financial year, is to get provinces to gazette the transfer to school, so that will also assist. The next bullet talks to the capital spending in education, which is 3.3 billion or 83.3%. And what is worrying is a decline of 375.6 million compared to the audited outcomes of last year, given the fact that the sector specifically was given money, additional money for 8 and 9 for the building of school infrastructure.
In fact, we might want to come back. We might want to come back to that discussion in view of this picture. Whether then it becomes necessary to give that additional money, because I think we've got to look at each province now on merit. What kind of capacity is in place? Because already here is going to be there's going to be some huge rollover of this amount, 375 million. And so how do we do that in the current? I mean, there's already this money that's coming in. In other words, we did not have a view of the performance at the time it was done. And so how should we deal with this matter now? Yes, Mr. Sokon.
Now, sir, I think that I want to agree with you, but maybe we need to have a discussion.
I want to agree with you that maybe we need to come back to this discussion. But the money has been what you call a given. But it means that, in other words...
No, Mamelso, could you talk about... You remember, Mr. Fuzile still has to come before us. Because it was going to... They've got to report before they allocate. So that discussion is going to be relevant, because we're going to link that discussion and this. In other words, this discussion is timing us. So by the time he comes to us, we already have this picture. But also what would be nice here, Madam Kandana, is just to have a breakdown province by province again. Remember, we were saying to provincial treasuries, this money must be given to education. And all of a sudden, we're seeing this thing. So clearly, we might want to backtrack a bit, but we'll have to talk about that ourselves. You're right. Let's have this picture. We've got this picture. Let's have Mr. Fuzile coming to us with that report, and then let's again come, under one off. Was it, Mr. Sokon?
No, I agree, Chairperson, but the date must just be very soon. It must come.
Thank you, Chair. I think we have some of the answers already with us, and as we proceed, we will go into the detail. What we have seen, though, is that there's very low capital spending, and I have to say, when we monitored the spending on the grant for the provincial infrastructure grant specifically, some of the funds were withheld during the course of the financial year. And what we've seen is low rate of capital spending in Mpumalanga specifically, which is at 60.9%, and then in Gauteng 71.4%, and where we've seen significant step-ups in the province's ability to spend is in the Northern Cape and in Limpopo, where there's the highest rate of capital spending in education. Then slide 22 talks to the information now per province, and that's just for education. We see there, like I've said before, the over-expenditure in Free State and in Northwest, and then the under-expenditure in the seven other provinces. We can also see the growth rate for expenditure. If we just look at the line that talks to Northwest, where we see the over-expenditure of 109 million, we see that the year-on-year growth rate, that's the last column on that in the table, is actually declining by 7.2%. And that can explain the expenditure that we see at the end of the current financial year.
No. Madam Kandana, there's a funny problem here. We are from Northwest. What's the date, Mr. Jules? Does anybody remember the meeting we had in the municipality offices in Northwest? And the departments were saying to us, now, it's a contradiction to what we see here. Because what they were saying to us, all other budgets were declining in favor of education. Okay? And this is a funny picture. We still have to go back to that discussion. In fact,
It's fortunate that we'll be seeing some municipalities in the Northwest. But maybe we might want to come back to this discussion again, firmly now. In other words, we'll have to have the provincial treasury there, Ms. Kandana. We'll have to have education and maybe all the other departments, some of those that were saying. Because we also thought that was true. Now, if this is what, I mean, the picture is what we see, then there is a problem in that province in respect of this particular, especially year-on-year growth budget in Northwest in education. Possibly.
Thank you, Chair. In fact, I think we can safely say that all other departments' budgets grew except for education. And that is the same for the 8 and 9 financial year, where we see low growth of 2% in the core, for education, whereas every other departmental budget grows above inflation, except for education.
In Northwest.
In Northwest. If we zoom into a little bit of detail in terms of education, if we look at Program 2 specifically, Public Ordinary Schools, there we see that there's over expenditure in terms of public ordinary schools in 5 of the provinces. That is in Limpopo. I think there's a significant amount there of 278 million, but overall that that department is underspending. Again, if we look at Northwest for that specific program, we see that the year-on-year growth is actually the only province where there's a decline of 8.5%. In terms of personnel,
Northwest. We were in one school, Mr. Porter, if you remember, where just infrastructure there. In fact, let's tell you that toilets were built in 2006 in that particular school and were never utilized. In other words, they were built and completed and locked. And for 2 years, those toilets were locked. And they were opened when the NCOP took parliament to the people, to that province. And when we were at this particular school, the plumber was then working that same day. But then, the kind of infrastructure work that is happening to that school is something that is coming in kind from individuals. Individual donations, but then money that's from the department is not going to the school. Per capita, each child in that school is supposed to get 678 rand. There are about 100, but last year they only got 11,000 instead of 67,000. And so, these are some of the things that you're starting to see then in Northwest already. But it's fine, we'll discuss this in further with them. Proceed.
And personnel, we see that 4 provinces are overspending on personnel. Again, it's necessary to highlight the Northwest issue, where we can, if we just look at the year-on-year growth, it declines partly. The reason or the issues around that was with the demarcation, where the provincial department overestimated the number of personnel that will move. However, it became clear that that is not the case, and we have requested the province actually to restructure its budget. And this is the result. Even with the 8 and 9 budget, we see the same problems reoccurring. In terms of education capital, I think the Chair asked us to go into detail with this one. We see only in Northern Cape and Limpopo over expenditure, and in all other 7 provinces we see under expenditure. And if we just look at the growth right now, in the Eastern Cape, for instance, although there's under expenditure, that budget was reduced. Even with the reduced budget, there's still under expenditure. The same in Gauteng, where the year-on-year declining growth is of 27.4% and is under expenditure of 218 million. Then we see in Mpumalanga, that budget was, as shows a declining growth rate of 13.2%, yet the Department of Education is underspending by 168 million. And in Northwest, we see that they're also struggling a little bit with education, with the capital spending in education, because we see the declining growth rate there, yet there's underspending. The Western Cape, there's a declining growth rate of 34.8%, and there's 41 million rand underspending. This is the, although we did not zoom in on non-personnel, non-capital, the learner support material per se, but it forms part of this group of expenditure. And we see that the Eastern Cape is over, together with the Free State, and then we see the rest of the provinces all have underspending for this particular item. I think the table speaks for itself. I think what one can mention is the fact that although there was a significant step up in the Eastern Cape in terms of this for non-personnel, non-capital, and the province is projecting to overspend on this, there is still a problem in terms of the allocation. So it's not sufficient.
Can I just interfere again? I do want to raise with treasuries that are here, just to talk to the logic. For instance, on this slide, let me quote Mpumalanga, for instance. Mpumalanga is going to underspend 178, and yet the year on year is 27. Just exactly what are the reasons for these things? While on the one hand there's huge underspending, but then the growth is also phenomenally higher. Is it because the budgets are not very credible? But are we also really interrogating the budgets ourselves just to ensure that the budgets are really in line? Well, the Free State is going to overspend. The growth is positive, not bad, 4.5. What are the lessons there? Northern Cape, going to huge underspending again. The growth is also positive there. Exactly what are the balancing acts that we're doing there? What are the problems there? Maybe we might want to come back to that discussion. And then it's a pity Gauteng is not here. Are they here?
Yeah.
Good. There is a huge underspending there, but there's a huge also growth. No, I did not see you. I see you now. I'm saying there's a huge underspending that you see, but also there's a big growth. And so how do we really deal with these matters? Maybe in your input, because I think it's a matter that going back to the provinces must receive you, and especially starting in the very first quarter and in the brand new budgets that are out. People should not just be fighting for budgets. I mean, you are put under pressure as treasuries to increase these budgets all the time. I mean, every year. And yet, on the one hand, the performance is low. What is its justification? I think we need to deal with that in respect of the different sectors, really. Proceed, madam.
Thank you, Chair. The next set of slides will deal with health. We see that in four provinces, KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, Free State, and Western Cape, they are going to overspend their adjusted budgets, and that is approximately 1.6 billion rand. The bulk of that 1.6 billion in four provinces is actually carried by KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. And we will unpack the detail of where that projected or where the preliminary over expenditure is coming from. The increase of 8.8 billion or 16.3% is in terms of the spending when we compare. So the spending rate has increased. However, there's low rate of health spending in the Northwest and the Northern Cape. And then in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, like I've said, it's got the highest percentage of over expenditure. The health personnel spending is at 35.1 billion. And the non-personnel, non-capital spending is at 22.3 billion. Capital spending is at 5 billion or 84.3%. We've seen that there's a step up in the ability to spend in terms of the capital capital expenditure of 7.2% when we compare to the audited outcomes of last year. Once again, there's low rate of capital spending in Mpumalanga, as the case was in education at 57.5%. And then what we see in the Northern Cape, unlike where education actually could spend the allocation in terms of capital, health seems to be struggling at that 59.8%. And then Free State and Limpopo, they have the highest rate of capital spending in health.
Good morning, Fraser. You're in a wrong meeting.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The overall expenditure for health, we see under expenditure in the Eastern Cape, which is at 51.3 million, and then also in the Northwest, at 67.8 million. Now, just to compare the education year-on-year growth with the health year-on-year growth, we see that although we see a decline in Northwest for education, we can actually see that the health budget is increasing by year-on-year growth of 10.6%. If you look at the detail in Program 2, Provincial District Health Services, there the spending is lowest in the Northern Cape and Northwest. And we see that in Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal, the spending is quite high. Program 4 for provincial hospital services, the lowest rate of spending once again in Northwest and then in the Eastern Cape. The highest is in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. For central hospital services, which is Program 5, we see that there's preliminary over expenditure of 614.8 million in all provinces, but specifically, the over expenditures from KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. And then there's lowest rate of spending, which is in Limpopo, or lower rate, because we've seen that these, on Program 5 for Central Hospital Services, they spend the entire budget, but it's lower in comparison to other provinces, which is in Limpopo and in the Western Cape. If we unpack Program 2, District Services, that's slide 30, we see that there is a problem in terms of Program 2 and how the budgets within health, although there was a significant step up even in the 8 and 9 financial year and last year with the adjustment budget. For health, the budgets continue to be under pressure, where we only see under expenditure in the Northern Cape and in Northwest. We actually also see where there's healthy year-on-year growth. In spite of that, there's still over expenditure. If we can just look at, for instance, KwaZulu-Natal, which their year-on-year growth was 32.3%, and in Mpumalanga it was 30.2%, we still see the over expenditure, given that could have been from a very low base, the year-on-year growth. That's just the detail for Program 4, still, which is hospital services. I'm just going to go through this. There's slide 32, which talks to central hospital services, and there we have a problem because we see in all nine provinces there's over expenditure. And that program is under severe pressure. And then in health, personnel, partly because of the OSD for nurses, we see that all provinces except in the Northern Cape and Northwest are experiencing problems in terms of their personnel budgets, and these personnel budgets are now under pressure. and we see the over expenditure there of 1.7 billion. Health capital. We only see that in the Free State there's over expenditure, all the rest of the nine provinces, which is eight. This is personnel.
Last financial year, the Limpopo province with personnel spending on the office. That overspending of 279 million.
Okay. Non-personnel, non-capital, that is slide 55. And we find the goods and services budget in here, which is, and part of it would be medicines and pharmaceuticals. We see over expenditure in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and in the Northern Cape and Western Cape. And then the rest of the provinces are underspending. And I think the one province that stands out here is in the Eastern Cape, where we see underspending of 427 million.
Your health department is not buying medication, my friend.
Oh, no.
And the babies are dying.
No.
Okay. Profit. And the worst thing is, looking at the year on year, in that same province, education. I think, again, it's a serious matter. What's it, madam?
Well, the social welfare services, like I've said before, this budget was reduced, and even with the reduced adjusted budget, decreased adjusted budget, we still see under expenditure. We see spending of 97.3% against the 6.4 billion adjusted budget. Spending is improving, but there's varying degrees of spending with low rates, specifically in Northwest and Mpumalanga. And we see that the Western Cape is spending, both Eastern Cape and Limpopo, is at 99.8%. But basically all provinces reflect preliminary under-expenditure. And the under-expenditure is Northwest at 55.5 million, Mpumalanga 38.2, KwaZulu-Natal 28.8, and the Free State 27.1 million. And that just gives us the breakdown per province, that's slide 57. Housing and local government, there's preliminary underspending of 636.2 million, and that is in eight provinces. There's low rate of spending in the Eastern Cape and in the Free State. And what we've seen is that there's higher rates of spending in Gauteng and then in the Northern Cape.
Mm-hmm. That one is not right. Northern Cape. Not true. What's it matter?
And then what we have seen is that in compliance...
Ms. Gandana, what we can tell you about the Northern Cape, it's been transferred to municipalities. It's still in the banks. And there are no houses, unfortunately. So, you see, we still have to come back to this thing. Because we'll have a serious discussion with the Northern Cape. In fact, we're still awaiting a report from National Treasury about especially this matter. We had sent a letter to the minister so that we must deal once and for all with this thing. Maybe with Gauteng too, and of course some other provinces, because there is a problem of financial dumping to municipalities here. And then it's reported and recorded as spending. And when we ask for houses, then we're told, no, it's transferred. So proceed.
Thanks, Chair. I think previously we showed a slide in terms of the spending in the grant, and then we said we showed that housing and local government is actually one department or that where we see that increase in the spending. That just gives us the breakdown for the housing and local government per province, the detail there. that in spite of the, in the Eastern Cape, in spite of the reduction, the money taken away, and in spite of the declining growth rate, there is still under expenditure of 175 million.
Treasurer must also tell us that Eastern Cape, that was not the original, what you call it. In fact, about Eastern Cape.
Okay, now the detail for the grant. This gives us the breakdown for the detail of the grant, and here we can actually see that the declining growth rate there of 38.6 as a result of the money being taken or being reduced, that is 161 million under expenditure for the Eastern Cape, which is quite a significant amount. And then we see the under expenditure in terms of the other provinces. Okay. These numbers are still preliminary, so we...
Don't you worry. These numbers are going to firm and give us the same character.
I'm not sure, Chair, I was thinking because tomorrow is sports recreation, I can go through these slides or we can... Maybe just the first slide and then we can skip
No,
to
let's read tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Perhaps we will come back to that. Also, the housing, conditional grant, the show spending, according to this document, is a little bit underspending. But my question is still, is there delivery on the ground? That is the main issue.
Okay, we'll zoom into the personnel spending, which is first the aggregate for four provinces, where we see preliminary over expenditure of 1.1 billion in seven provinces, and there's low level of personnel spending in both Mpumalanga and the Western Cape, or lower level. Both Mpumalanga and Western Cape is at 99.9%, and then in Gauteng it's 100.1%, compared to the over expenditure, I must put that in context, in terms of when we look at other provinces.
You see the problem with Gauteng, having looked at the other, almost all the sectors here, there's underspending in the majority of cases. And then you've got now overspend on personnel. Okay? 100.1, and the question is, what are these people paid for? Because basically, underspending means there's nothing that is going on the ground. And so I think those are some of the questions which I'll come back to when we're dealing with Gauteng, in particular, some specific departments.
If we then move into the payments for capital assets, this now includes all capital spending, and we see that overall there's preliminary underspending of 2.2 billion in all provinces for capital. What we've also seen is that in the adjusted budget, 1.1 billion was added, and basically provinces have the capacity to spend original budgets and not adjusted budgets. So we see low rate of capital spending in Mpumalanga, not just in education, but overall of 77%, and in the Northern Cape of 83.8%. Although capital spending is low, but when compared with the rest of the provinces, Eastern Cape and Western Cape actually reflect a little bit higher rate of capital spending. The biggest capital budgets in provinces are in public works, roads, and transport departments.
No, in Eastern Cape? Sorry,
no, this is in aggregate, Chair. So it's at 38%.
Madam Gandana, let's be careful of the aggregates now. I'm saying we're doing oversight. We surely must be zooming and specific. Well, for instance, when you're talking public works in the same Cape, you're talking ICU. The spending in the roads, but we don't see the roads drop, do we see? I mean, this is the point. And so clearly, aggregates must be further disaggregated, please, so that we really zoom into each responsibility accordingly. Proceed, madam. Of course.
Then the slide 49 just says there's under expenditure in all provinces in terms of capital. If we get to education and health, if we zoom then into the education and health capital budgets, we see that education capital spending shows a decline of 375.6 million or 10.3% compared to their spending of last year, the 2006-07 financial year. So I can just proceed. That's just the education capital. Health capital, and then if we get to payments for capital assets, which is public works, roads, and transport, we see that the spending is at 97.8%. There's underspending in six provinces of 229.8 million, which is mostly there's in the Free State at 107 million, and KwaZulu Natal 52.2 million. Then we see that spending is 23.7% or 1.4 billion more. So although it's low or there's underspending, it's better than the 2006-07 financial year. We see that the lowest rate of spending is recorded in the Free State and in Limpopo for this specific department, Public Works, Roads and Transport, or cluster of departments. And then Eastern Cape and Gauteng records the highest rate of spending. At 105% and 103.2%.
From one extreme last year
I think there's differences in the amounts paid per kilometer and the quality of the work, and so the money that gets spent per kilometer is varies across provinces abroad. That just gives us the breakdown on slide 54 of the over and under expenditure per province. We see that in the Free State there's 107 million under, which is the highest, I think, for provinces. And this is what's happening in terms of capital expenditure. This is now in aggregate, all departments' capital expenditure. And we see there between January and March a significant step up in spending. But in spite of this, there is that under expenditure still in capital for all provinces. Here we've tried to just show the capital spending for public works, which is the red line, health in blue, and then in education in green. And we see there that it's much better for health, public works, roads and transport in terms of the capital. If we zoom into the conditional grants, which is on slide 59, the last bullet there, let me just go a little bit up. It says there that conditional grants were adjusted by 33.3 billion, and it excludes Schedule 4 grants, spending against a total adjusted allocation of 19.55 billion. However, when we strip out the health train, the preliminary outcome for all conditional grants is 15.1 billion or 92.2%. The reported high expenditure for the Gautrain, we look at the detail later on, is inclusive of the provincial portion, and that's why we actually see when we record the expenditure, it's more than the conditional grant allocation. But it's because it's got the provincial portion included in there, and therefore it would apply that the conditional grant was spent in full. There are specific grants that show low rates of spending, which includes the Agriculture Disaster Management Grant, which is 34%, Forensic Pathology, 77.6%, Land Care, 83.2%, HIV and AIDS, 83.3%, Community Library Services, 83.8%, and Hospital Revitalization, 84.3%. On slide 60, in the fact that was distributed, we have given the spending on the further education and training colleges sector recapitalization grant, which is at 96.6%, and it reflects the actual transfers. What we record as spending is the actual transfers from the provincial education departments to the FET colleges. FET colleges expenditure is at 106%. And that is the information that we got from the National Department of Education, who's monitoring the spending for this grant. We have published the expenditure by college, and the information was provided by the National Department of Education. And we have circulated, or we've given the committee that the information part of the PAC. Slide 61, it just gives us the breakdown of the conditional grants. In agriculture, generally there's low spending, and that is mainly because of the spending rate in the Agriculture Disaster Management Grant. And therefore we see that overall spending for that, for the sector grants at 41.6%. The arts and culture, which is the community library. Okay, this one. That's slide 64. If we just look at the first column, which is the number of provinces which spend less than 90%. In agriculture, which is the land care program, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. Arts and culture, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Northwest. In education, for further education and training colleges, that is Gauteng, HIV and AIDS, life skills education, it's KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo, and then the National School Nutrition Program, less than 90% spent, is the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Mpumalanga. For health, the forensic pathology services, low spending in KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Northwest. And for hospital revitalization, we see low spending for Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape. Housing, integrated housing and human settlement, less than 90% spending in the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest. And for the mass sports and recreation participation program, less than 90% spending in Gauteng. Okay.
We saw some young boys playing soccer on an open field, and yet that province is God, I can't believe it. Aye. Hey, Zoti Mvumalanga, talk to this. Talk to us. Aye, it's in trouble.
While the HOD from Mpumalanga is preparing himself. You know, I think that with education, the FETs, there's something that I noticed over the weekend, which we would have to invite the National Department, that I was not aware of. I'm sure I'm not the only one who is not aware of that. That students train there, but if they want to do practicals, they must pay. And many students do not have the money to pay to do practical work. So that is why that many students who pass there still do not do what we call, are not able to find work, because they have not done practical work. They have only done theory. And I think that is something that we must deal with education. I'm not sure if the Select Committee is aware of that on education.
That's very useful, Mr. Sogoni, something that we've got to deal with.
I think we will also come back to it. It was also indicated here. You know, there's two things that concern me very much. Is land care and disaster management in agriculture. Neither not a single province spend that money. Disaster management is there for water and all type of things, but if it's rain, no one do nothing. They not plan for the years that is drought. Boreholes and all that type of thing. So they just stopped doing anything about the whole process.
No, no, you're right. We will have to come back. This is why we were saying let's zoom further. Let's interrogate further these things. We can't just be satisfied by the glamorous reports that we get, especially in respect of the sector departments. We must be very, very, very vigilant and strong on outcomes. What is this money buying, finally? Those things are more critical now. And again, it means more collaboration than with the other sector or committees. Big, big time. Because, I mean, what Mr. Sokol is saying and what you're saying reflect exactly that. I mean, we're all chasing money here, but we don't see these things on the ground. Jody, proceed back.
Chairperson, honourable members, we have circulated a presentation which takes about takes about 14 slides, but in light of the presentation by National Treasury. Which we do not dispute the figures from National Treasury. I would like to zoom in into the problems. I will therefore request that we hold on a little bit on slide number 3, because the essence of our presentation is on that particular slide. If we take out the exceptions, and this has also been indicated by National Treasury, we can divide the exceptions into two categories. There are those conditional grants that are underspending, and there are those that are overspending. The first one that is underspending is the disaster management grant, which is which spending is at 19%. What we would like to indicate here is that this amount, if you look at the column on main appropriation, this amount, the amount of 45 million rand was only received on during the adjustment. The departments could therefore not be in a position to spend reasonably higher than the 19%. There are indications from the departments which we do not necessarily share that the rest of the 36 million that is remaining has been committed. The next one that is problematic is forensic pathology services grant, which has spent 52%. It's part of the reasons why National Treasury has withheld further transfer of funds because of the low spending at 52%. The Department of Health has given various reasons why the spending is low, but we have identified reasons ourselves, the challenges that are there, which we will indicate. I think it is between slide 6 and slide number 8. Next exception is the hospital revitalization grant, which has spent 44%. And that also has led to National Treasury withholding funds. Coming to integrated housing, the next one of the exceptions is on the infrastructure grant of the Department of Education. They have spent only 21% of the grant. Now, Chair, we indicate the reasons for the underspending. On slide number six. But if I can just allude to what the problems are, as the chairperson was asking, why do we have this type of underspending whilst the budgets are growing? You will also realize that most of these exceptions, in each and every one of them, there are rollovers. And if you really counted the rollovers out, there is a possibility spending could have been much higher. Now, I would have liked the department to have been here, because it is no use that I will sit here. At least I will be telling them that we told you. You see, and that is the basic problem that is there. You have the figures, you have the projections that indicate a particular result, and then you struggle to get that. That must be accepted. Even now, we have, as we indicate in the rest of our presentation, that departments are indicating that the rest of the monies that are remaining have been committed already. It means that it is preparation for a case for a rollover. Now, at least we have gained enough experience that we know when we are going to start to refuse, and this is the situation that will enable us to simply refuse. Apart from the fact that the projections are not really taken into account, you also have a capacity problem. As the chair was indicating yesterday, that in one province there's a well-known professor in languages who's in charge of he's in charge of infrastructure. You have the same type of problem, where it looks like when departments don't know where to place their problematic people, they are pushed to infrastructure. People who once worked with DTI will also know this, that or in economic development departments, that every time that you have a problematic employee, you put them to small business development. It used to be like that, and then we wondered why SMBs were not really progressing. You've got the same type of thing. You have people with not that much experience. You give them billions to run. The result is that you have a problem in planning. That planning takes place in the same year that there should be implementation. We have introduced the IDIP, and we have also insisted that we get properly qualified people in infrastructure. There is still a struggle in the sense that we have tried to bring about interventions as provincial treasurer. We have engaged what we refer to in the document as operational support teams, in addition to National Treasury with the PTAT, that help with the forward planning and so on. We do not have a problem right now with the forward planning, because all plans for 2009 They have already been submitted to National Treasury. We are working on corrective measures. The problem is this one, 2007-2008. That's the problem, that you have this huge underspending, and it is simply because the capacity to deal with these conditional grants was just not put in place. The planning was not there. I do not think that we can have any excuses about that, because if the planning was proper, the spending would have been higher than this. And also, it's questionable whether the decision to also approve rollovers was correct. Now, it is hindsight, but we normally would go out of our way and indicate you do not need to have a rollover because of the capacity constraints that you really have. Now, in a nutshell, Chairperson, to answer what we were asking, what we were saying around equitable share underspending also applies to this. Because more money is being given without looking into whether there is capacity to spend. That is the problem. The other exception, if I continue, is on the overspending. You will realize that the comprehensive, we are still on slide number 3. Under the Department of Education and the Department of Health, comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant has overshot the mark at 101%. The National Tertiary Services grant has just made it 100%, but you have roads and transport at 102%. Now, what we are indicating is that we are going to take this money from the department's equitable share, because there is no reason why they should have overspent. If they should have overspent, it means that they actually did not follow up on their own plans, and therefore we are going to take the money from them. But I must mention here that the Department of Roads and Transport has spent 102%. Now, our Departments of Roads and Transport, they do the work themselves. They do it themselves. They do not depend on public works. They don't. If they have to outsource any of the functions, whether it is the design of roads and so on, they do it themselves in-house within the department. Now, that also starts giving you an indication of where the problem lies. That you have public works as an agent of all these other departments, but surely you do not expect that public works will have all these other departments and their little projects and so on as a priority. And our advice to departments was that if it means business as usual, we've got to move away from this dependence on the Department of Public Works, especially when it comes to the provision of infrastructure. We really have to move away from that, because if a department feels that they are not getting any joy out of using public works, they should feel free to outsource whatever functions that they have to outsource. Of course, the accountability. The issue has always to be taken into account, the tendering process, etc., because if you, in our own experience, part of the problem is that the tendering process itself is a constraint, because it is done by one department for other departments, and it takes a rather long time for the tendering process itself to move from evaluation up to adjudication and finalization. It takes quite some time. That's part of the problem. And our belief is that if departments did that themselves, it would be much more faster. Because then you are not you are not you are not faced with a situation where the Department of Public Works is sitting there with agriculture, all of these other departments that are depending on them for the service. So, in a nutshell, Chairperson, the problem simply lies in capacity. It also lies, and the capacity is reflected in lack of planning, lack of forward planning. But we have also done quite some work in order to try and help. In terms of the hospital revitalization grant, for an example, we requested Public Works to go out and find out from each hospital what is the state of the hospital, the state of equipment, the state of everything. And we got a whole list. There are some hospitals that are still operating with equipment that was bought in the 1960s, way out of time. There are hospitals without proper autoclaves and so on. And we simply had a meeting with the MECs of all these departments, with the Department of Health, and we indicated to them there is no reason why the hospital revitalization grant should not be moving. Here's a list. Here's proof. You would rather prove us wrong, but here's a list of what needs to be done. And we have been informed that that list has been put out to tender. So if there is a rollover, it will be a rollover on that basis, because it is something that we have also identified. In terms of education, there are a number of backlogs in the Department of Education of work that has not been completed, which the department has identified. But the problem was that the department then wanted us to give them an additional 100 million to complete that, and we refused. We refused because we were saying, reprioritize what you have because you are underspending. We will not give you more than that. But our own opinion as a provincial treasurer is that things are not as bad as they seem, because you've got movement, especially the Department of Education. You've got movement somewhere. There is real movement to address most of these problems. Our fear is that, like in the Department of Health, where work has started on mortuaries, I think, in terms of forensic pathology, it started late, but work is progressing. The problem is that they might find themselves with a pressure on this budget for this current financial year. But that is a problem that we will cross when we come to that. I have spoken about 8 slides now. And I have also spoken about some of the challenges that we have, as we are indicating on slide number 9. The biggest problem that confronts the Department of Education is unavailability of land, where you find that they will have projects immediately. They want
the stadium.
Yes, of course. And then you move the school. Yes. Yeah. Chairperson, I think. Yes. And then you create a temporary structure. It's almost equal to a mass structure. So, but we also have had a shortage of internal project managers. That was also problematic. That's part of the capacity that we're talking about. But the Department of Health of Public Works has had quite a number of students who are project managers and so on. And there has been adverts for project management units in the different departments. In terms of interventions, I have already spoken about what we have done. We have identified
especially regarding the hospital revitalization together with the public works and health. There is cooperation now between the different infrastructure delivery departments, and we have meetings with our MECs on a regular basis. There is a meeting today in the afternoon, for an example, where part of the reports would be on conditional grants. We have also appointed people to help departments with what we call operational support teams in terms of what I indicated. There is that virtue that we do not have that capacity. Now, we have outsourced this on a short-term basis to make sure that you have capacity that is transferred to internal staff members. The problem that you are facing is that you do not have, if you look the other way, departments change these people regularly. So you don't have that consistency. But we are dealing with that at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
That was precise and nice and sweet. That's Mpumalanga. Then there's going to be some summary dismissal. No hearings, nothing. That's what I'm saying. For all the agitators, summary dismissal. What's the strike about? When there's unrest, I call in the soldiers, not police, the soldiers, just to crush all of that. What democracy? When you are putting the whole nation at risk, there's no such democracy in defending the country. No. This is not about the AWP. It's about defending again. Firstly, you don't listen to people that put some protests and what have you. That's the bottom line. Anybody who says something on the dot. No, Mugabe is still around. He's going to live much longer. Let's have tea for 10 minutes. But just before that, why don't we engage this presentation, and then go to tea, Mpumalanga. Can we do just that? Because basically there are not very many issues that would want to raise with the HOT.
Yeah.
Because some of those are really specific for the department. But do we have anything, gentlemen, just to raise the time? Can you?
No, thanks, Chair. I think we are correct and precise to say there are not many issues to raise, yes. But there is alarming work to be done. Yes. Chair, you see, I am a bit impressed about the suggestions that are made in this report. Later they did come, but I believe they'll assist. You know, Chair, some of us, especially me, have been quiet in some of these meetings about the province. I didn't speak, but almost all the time, I went around looking at these issues. I can tell you that the project that I had ML Hospital, there's very little